Okay, good evening. Okay, I want to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, another beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord. I was blessed this morning. D.A. and his boys and me drove to, I rode with D.A. to Collins, to the Collins rally today. And so we were blessed. A prayer service, and then I was able to participate with D.A. in a singing portion, and then we're blessed with a sermon and blessed with good food. Ate too much, but good cooks down there. And so it's been a blessed day. And but it's always a beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord. You know, it's a beautiful day. You know, I come this night with humbleness to our God. You know, my hope is that God will touch us and that we will leave here this evening with a zeal to serve him. You know, every day is a good day. You know, on Sundays I say, you know, it's a great day to be with our Lord, but every day we must seek him. I'm going to start with Psalm 118:24 says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." You know, are we rejoicing this day? I hope so. I hope so. You know, we need to rejoice every day. You know, seeking our God, giving him thanks for the many blessings in our lives. You know, a couple of months ago was in August, the last of July, the first part of August, was the Summer Olympic Games. And I know it's exciting to watch these Olympic Games. In the summer ones, it's gymnastics, it's swimming, it's track and field. And you see these athletes that have trained to be the best, to go for the gold. And, you know, this year it was in Tokyo, Japan. It was actually called the 2020 Olympics due to the pandemic. It was canceled last year. They brought it in this year, and they still called it the 2020 Olympics. You know, these athletes have trained so hard, and they've been blessed by God with these talents that he has given them. You know, this year, the U.S. won the most medals. You know, it was the very end. They were ahead of the count for all the other countries with the most medals, but not the most gold medals. And that last day, they surpassed China, and they got one more gold medal. And so they were the best. They were the best. And, you know, it took many hours of preparation for these athletes. You know, practicing, learning better techniques in order to be the best and win the gold. You know, when they compete, their goal is not to win the bronze medal, not to win the silver medal. You know, it's to win the gold, to be the best. You know, if they win the bronze and the silver, it's a good thing. But their goal is to win the gold. You know, I want to tell you a quick story about one of the athletes. And it's a lady, a USA Olympic athlete, and her name is Sydney McLaughlin. And she won two gold medals. And after she won, she was a runner, she was a hurdler, and she was fast, you know, but she was blessed. And, you know, this story starts by saying, Sydney is the face of a woman who is in awe of God. You know, she wrote this after winning this gold medal, after winning the 400-meter hurdles. Sydney started with, "I could feel this meet was going to be something special. But weeks like these are some of the hardest in the track athlete's life. The mental strain and preparing for the rounds in order to solidify your spot is heavy enough." You know, all that practice, trying to do what is to be the best, to win that gold. "But the amount of weight the Lord took off my shoulders is the reason I could run so freely yesterday. My faith was being tested all week. from bad practices to three false start delays to a meet delay, I just kept hearing God say, just focus on me. It was the best race plan I could have ever assembled. I no longer run for self-recognition, but to reflect his perfect will that is already set in stone. I don't deserve anything, but by grace, through faith, Jesus has given me everything, you know, and he has given us everything. Records come and go. The glory of God is eternal. Thank you, Father. You know, what a wonderful story. You know, she gives the glory for accomplishments to God. You know, she worked hard. You know, how often do we work hard for things and we want to achieve to be the best? But do we give that glory to God? You know, he is the one that blesses us. You know, today, you probably have figured out what my title of my sermon is, but it is Going for Gold in Our Spiritual Lives. You know, like these Olympic athletes, we have been blessed by God with many talents. You know, we need to have that same diligence in our preparation of seeking God in our lives. You know, by learning the gospel through studying the scriptures, building that close relationship with God through prayer, and most importantly, following his commandments. You know, let's turn to Ephesians. We all know this, but Ephesians 6, I'm going to start with 10. And this is where we can find the guidance and the preparation that we need. So Ephesians 6. I'm going to start with 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. And then I'm going to pop down to 23. It says, peace be to the brethren and the love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. You know, are we sincere? Do we place our trust in God? Do we love our God? And how do we love our God? But following his commandments, doing those things that he has brought us to do. You know, let's be prepared, ready so that we can have victory with the Lord. You know, the Book of Mormon says it is expedient that he should be diligent, that thereby he might win the prize. You know, what is winning? You know, it's being victorious, going for gold. You know, let's go for gold in our spiritual life. Let's go to serve our God, to learn what we should do and be a good example to others of his goodness. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles, and it's chapter 29. Okay, 1 Chronicles 29. I'm going to start with verse 11. It says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." You know, in verse 11, it says, "For all that is in heaven and in earth is thine." You know, all is our Lord's. Verse 12 says that both riches and honor come from thee. You know, our victory is with God. You know, I have a question. You know, do we place our focus on putting God first in our lives? Do we put him first above all? We all have, you know, busy times. We have busy lives. We're just busy people. You know, busy people, and we have day-to-day chores, day-to-day things we have to get done. But do we put him first? Do we ask him to guide us in our lives? Do we ask him to be with us and to lead us? And as usual, I'm going to turn to a song. We're going to turn to 167. And 167, which is, "Give of your best to the master." I'm going to read the verses here. It says, "Give of your best to the master. Give of the strength of your youth. Throw your soul's fresh glowing ardor into the battle for truth. You know, Jesus has set the example. Dauntless was he, young and brave. Give him your loyal devotion. Give him the best that you have." You know, it says in there, he has set that example. So we should know what we should do, and we need to follow. Second verse, "Give of your best to the master. Give him first place in your heart. Give him first place in your service. Consecrate every part. Give, and to you shall be given. God his beloved son gave, gratefully seeking to serve him. Give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the master. Naught else is worthy his love. He gave himself for your ransom, gave up his glory above. Laid down his life without murmur, you from sin's ruin and in to save. Give him your heart's adoration. Give him the best that you have." And the chorus, "Give of your best to the master. Give of the strength of your youth. Clad in salvation's full armor. Join in the battle for truth." You know, we need to give our best. We need to strive to give our best to the master. And we must put our trust in God and ask him to lead us in our lives. I want to turn to 1 John. First John 5. And I'm going to start with one. The first five verses, 1 John chapter 5, it says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And every one that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" You know, Romans 8, verse 6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, You know, can we win if we don't have peace? You know, God will give us that peace. He'll give us that comfort. We just have to seek him with all our heart. We must seek him with humbleness. Let's turn to Mosiah, page 219, chapter 2. Okay, so Mosiah chapter 2, and I'm going to start with verse 1. And it says, "And now it came to pass that when King Benjamin had made an end of speaking the words which had been delivered unto him by the angel of the Lord, that he cast his eyes round about on the multitude, and behold, they had fallen to the earth. For the fear of the Lord had come upon them, and they had viewed themselves in their own carnal state, even less than the dust of the earth. And they all cried aloud with one voice, saying, Oh, have mercy and apply the atoning blood of Christ, that we may receive forgiveness of our sins and our hearts may be purified. For we believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who created heaven and earth and all things, who shall come down among the children of men. And it came to pass that after they had spoken these words, the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, and they were filled with joy." You know, we can have that joy in the Lord. "Having received a remission of their sins, having peace of conscience because of the exceeding faith which they had in Jesus Christ, which should come, according to the words which King Benjamin had spoken unto them." You know, if we have exceeding faith, he will give us that peace. You know, let's turn to Hebrews. And this is I have to always read the faith chapter. And it's Hebrews chapter 11. Clear through here, I'm just reading the first six verses, but the whole chapter is full of the faith that everyone in the Bible had for our Lord. So Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." You know, are we pleasing God? "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You know, so much. Do we have our faith? Do we place our trust? Do we have faith in our Lord? And I want to turn to Daniel, the third chapter. We all know this one too. You know, these Bible stories that we've heard for many years. Daniel 3, you know, this is talking about King Nebuchadnezzar and the faith that Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego had in our Lord. And what strong faith it was. So Daniel chapter 3, and I'm going to start, I might skip down a little bit. It's a long chapter, my longest reading. So it starts out here that, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar, you know, he wanted people to worship him. He had this statue. He wanted them, when they heard the trumpet, cornet, when they hear this noise, they were to bow down and to worship this statue. And I'm going to drop down maybe to 7. So chapter 3, Daniel 7, it says, therefore at this time when all people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at this time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. And they spake and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. You know, there are three Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image that thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast in the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? You know, pretty scary. You know, what would we do? You know, when it comes to that time, I know we serve our God. You know, can we have that strong faith that they had? So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it wont be to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that they were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. These men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonied, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto the counselors, did not we cast three men into the midst of the fiery furnace? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. You know, God is with us at all times. And they knew it. They had that faith. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar came to the mouth and the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Ye servants of the Most High God, come forth, come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, captains, and kings, and counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." You know, by their example, by their faith, this king knew of God. You know, what a wonderful example. And it says, who hath sent this his angels and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made of dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the province of Babylon. A long reading there, but so important to show that faith that we must have, and that God will bless us. God will bless us in our lives. You know, these men were strong in their beliefs. They had faith and trust that the Lord would protect them. And he did. And by the example, the king feared the Lord. You know, what a, you know, it was this king that was so strong and wanted the power. And by their example and their faith, he feared the Lord. You know, I want to turn to another song, my last song to read. But it's, you know, can we have that trust? Can we have that faith in our God? And let's go to 331, which is trust and obey. Says, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we shall sit at his feet, or will walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. And trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You know, it's easy. Put your trust in the Lord. You know, in our lives, can people see by the things we do, our actions, that we have a love and serve our Lord? You know, can they just look at you and know by your actions that you have that love for God? You know, I hope so. I'm going to turn to Matthew 5. I'm going to start with verse 8. Okay, Matthew 5, verse 8, and it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. The city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, do we let God's light shine through us in the world? You know, when we're in the world, can people see it? Can they see the love of God? When others see us, can they see his light shining? You know, I hope so. I hope so. You know, just think before you speak. Do those things that are right. You know, am I saying, oh, I'm perfect? Oh, no, 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 no. You know, I hope I preach to myself, you know, that I hope I show that light and that love to all those that I come in contact with. But it's a work in progress. We're human. You know, things irritate us, but we must put our focus on the Lord. Let's turn to Matthew 22, which are the first two commandments, and it's Matthew 22. I'll start with 37. Says, and this is Jesus speaking, it said, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophet. You know, we need to follow these commandments. You know, and we have, we have a love of God. Do we have the love of God burning in our hearts? You know, are we giving him our best? Are we going for gold? Are we going to be our best? Are we going for the gold? You know, I have a story of we all have people probably in our lives that maybe irritate us. Maybe we aren't on the same wavelength. Maybe they're just different, or maybe we're just different. But I was going somewhere with a group of people, and I found out this person was going, and it was like, you know, it's somebody that I felt was arrogant and just, I didn't jive with. And so I went, and I told Becky before I went, I went, oh, so-and-so's going, you know, how's this going to be? And so I went, and I came home, and I said to Becky, this person was great. You know, I got along, everything was good. I don't think this person's arrogant. And then I remembered, you know, I was on my way. I was on my way, and I prayed to God, and I had prayed that things would go good. And so he either changed this person or he changed my heart. You know, a lot of times it might be the way we look at others, you know, and maybe we see things that we think are false when it's maybe us that needs to change our heart. And, you know, it was as I was going and as everything was great, and I didn't realize why it was so great. And then I realized that God probably changed my heart, that I saw through my eyes and looked with that love that we must possess. Let's turn to Romans 12. This is on love. You know how important it is that we have this love, the love of God in our hearts. So Romans 12 and verse 9, I'm going to start with. It says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice to them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You know, and that, I know our Lord wants us to do that. You know, we're all different, but live peaceably. You know, ask for forgiveness in your heart, and God will bless us so that we can live peaceably with each other. Let's turn to John 15. So John 15, I'm going to start with 7, and this is Jesus speaking again. It says, if ye abide with me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. You know, we'll have that joy. This is my commandments, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. You know, he commands us to have that love one for another. You know, do we abide with our Lord and let his words abide in us? Do we live our lives by the example that Jesus has given us? You know, 1 Timothy 4:12 says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Now, I have a poem here. My father-in-law, Apostle Frank Fan, always read Helen Steiner Rice's poems, and I'll continue that. You know, there's so much inspiration that the Lord puts in these poems. Just like when I read the songs, he blesses each of us with the scriptures, the music, these poems that will put our heart closer to the Lord. And it says, faith is a mighty fortress. It says, we look ahead through each changing year with mixed emotions of hope and fear. Hope for the peace we long have sought. Fear that our hopes will come to naught. Unwilling to trust in the Father's will, we count our logic and shallow skill. In our arrogance and pride, we are no longer satisfied. to place our confidence and love with childlike faith in God above, and tiny hands and tousled heads that kneel in prayer by little beds are closer to the dear Lord's heart and of his kingdom more a part. Then we who search and never find the answers to our questioning minds for faith in things we cannot see requires a child's simplicity. You know, you look at these children and you know the simplicity and the love they look up. Can we have that love for our God? It says, O Heavenly Father, grant again a simple childlike faith to men, forgetting color, race, and creed, and seeing only the heart's deep need. For faith alone can save man's soul and lead him to the higher goal. For there's but one unfailing course. We win by faith and not by force. You know, we are going to have good times in our lives. We're going to have trials in our lives. You know, but God is with us always. You know, are we serving him? Are we going for gold? Are we trying to do our best? Are we serving him with that zeal? You know, we need to put our faith and our trust in the Lord, and he will give us that comfort and peace in our lives. You know, I told us, probably the ones that are here at prayer meeting, it's probably been about a month ago, God is with us always. And blesses us, blesses me in my life. You know, I there's so many blessings. But over a month ago, I was driving to work down, I drive to Kansas, and I was on five lanes of highway, and the lanes are full. We're three across of this five, and in the middle lane next to me, there's a car in front of us. It's a work truck. And a 10-foot orange ladder flies off. And it flies in front of the car next to me. And there was nowhere for him to go. I thought, okay, is he going to come into me? And he didn't. He didn't come into anybody. There was no accident. The only thing I can say is the Lord blessed us. And I prayed after that whoever came along behind, because we're driving 70 miles an hour, and at the least it would hurt the car, worse it might hurt the person, and we were blessed. You know, every day before I leave work and as I'm driving, I say a prayer to God to bless the day, to keep me safe, to bless all those in need, and he blessed me that day. Well, a couple weeks ago, Cody and Savannah Sprague are getting ready to have me list their house. And so I left work a couple hours early to go over and see their house. I'm driving the opposite way. I'm driving eastbound on 435 in this five-lane highway. And I'm driving down the road. There wasn't a car on either side. But what sits in my lane right in front of me is an extension ladder. So please pray that there aren't any more ladders in my life. there I was. I was able to switch lanes. I was fine. Again, it's a blessing. You know, little blessings in our lives every day that, you know, it's the simple things. But do we praise God? Do we give him the glory for those blessings in our lives? Isaiah 41:10 says, Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Psalm 5:11 says, But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. You know, does he bring us joy? He brings us joy. You know, at the start of my sermon, I had titled, does anybody know what the title of my sermon was? Going for Gold. Okay, so normally, as you know me, I don't have a t-shirt under here. I was with Jeff a little bit earlier, and he said, do you have a Chiefs jersey under there today? And I really wish I had a shirt under here, because I'm going to change. If you wrote down that going for gold, it'll be an easy change as my title. So what I want you to do is just take one letter out of the word gold. So instead of going for gold, which going to be the best for our God, it's going for God. So are we living our lives? Are we going for God? And, you know, let's live our lives asking the Lord to always be by our side. You know, I want to finish. I love this verse in Mosiah 3:21, one verse. It's on page 225. And it's verse 21. It says, therefore, I would that you should be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in good works, that the Lord omnipotent may seal you his, that ye may be brought to heaven, that ye may have everlasting salvation and eternal life, through the wisdom and the power and the justice and the mercy of him who created all things in heaven and in earth, who is God above all. Amen. So remember our winning and our victory is with our God. So thank you very much.